You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
You're listening to the Make Space Podcast, episode number 14.
Home, home, just wanna go,
just wanna go.
Home, home,
back home.
I've been going for way too long.
Home, home,
just wanna go,
just wanna go.
Home, home,
I'm on my way back home.
Welcome to Make Space, a home design show made to inspire you to create spaces you truly feel at home in. Kara Newhart sits down with amazingly brilliant guests for conversations that dive deeper than pin-worthy rooms to tease out the essentials of creating spaces that feed your soul and inspire your creativity. From home design strategies to decor advice to interior design tips and tricks, these conversations help you dream up a beautifully lived-in home. Kara is the designer and chief creative enthusiast behind Never Skip Brunch. Her work has been featured in print publications like People Style Watch and Denver Style Magazine. As an influencer, Kara has collaborated with brands like Amazon, H&M, Twitter, and Thrillist. Here's your host, Kara Newhart.
Happy Wednesday! You guys, I am just still smiling so big because this whole episode just filled me with joy. Today, I'm sitting down with Kari Ann Wood, who is just one of the most joyful and amazing people that I've ever met. She writes the award-winning lifestyle blog, Thistlewood Farms, from her historic home in Dallas, Texas. Thistlewood Farms was awarded Country Living Decorating Blog of the Year, as well as named one of the top 10 decorating blogs by Better Homes and Gardens. Kari Ann has freelanced for several national decorating magazines, such as Better Homes and Gardens, Christmas Ideas, Country Woman Magazine, and Flea Market Style. She's also an incredible author with a passion for storytelling, and in this episode, we not only dive into decorating tips and DIY tips, and really how to find your style, but we also talk about all of her different books and where you can find them, because they are jam-packed with such great advice and really, really good guidance for you as you are on your home decor and DIY journey. So let's get to it and jump into this interview.
Hi.
Hello, hello. Oh my goodness. I am very, very excited to have you on because you are just the most positive person and you have such amazing tips for style and for really creating a house you love. So thank you so much for coming on as a guest today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to talk to everybody.
Oh, yes. So I got to meet you at the Haven Conference, and just after chatting a few times, I kind of began to realize that I think you're like one of the most joyful people I know. Like every time I saw you, you were laughing, you were smiling, and it was just really encouraging because it kind of made me realize like your approach when it comes to design is really laid back, but also you have this gorgeous home. And so the fact that you can have both and you don't have to be serious or stuffy about design is just so, so encouraging. So can you share a little bit about your journey of how you got into home design and then also about becoming an author and blogger?
Sure. Okay. So my journey kind of started about 10 years ago. My husband and I decided to go on an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took our four children and we jumped from McKinney, Texas, which is part outside of Dallas, DFW, Fort Worth area. Uh-huh. And where there are like restaurants and there are like Target.
Yeah.
And all kinds of amazing shops and theaters and movies. And we jumped from there to the middle of nowhere.
Oh, goodness.
In Kentucky. Literally in the entire county that we lived in. Like, yeah. Not the city, the county. There were no stoplights.
Oh, my goodness. There were no
stoplights. Target, like, I had to cross state lines. Like, yeah. You have to go to Tennessee to go to Target. And so it was definitely an adventure, and it was an amazing journey. And we bought an old farmhouse that was over 100 years old, and we started the journey of remodeling it. And we were finished, and everything was, well, you're never really finished, but we were close to finished. And I wanted to share with people, and I was kind of lonely. You know, I had moved there from out of town, and I didn't know, the people were amazing and they were wonderful, but you know, I just wanted to start sharing my journey. So I thought, I'm going to start a blog.
Yeah.
So hence Thistlewood Farms was born, and I got online and found the most amazing group of creative, incredible, awesome women who were just like me, who wanted to decorate and design their homes and shop people's trash and shop at yard sales and do all this amazing stuff. And along the way, I have had a couple of fabric lines, and I have two product lines that are in stores right now. And I have my fifth book just launched last week.
Yes.
So yeah, it's been an amazing, incredible journey. And that's, I think, the brilliance of the online world is you never know who's listening. You never know who you can connect with. And especially, you never know who you can encourage.
Yeah. I love that so much. I feel like, because I started my blog as a new mom when I was, you know, in the city, but totally alone in my own house. And being able to find that community, there's just nothing like it. And once you really get plugged in and really get what it's about, that it's not just sharing pretty things, it's about people and community, then that's really it for sure.
Yes. You know, what's interesting too, you know, you said about joy. I wrote a post on my blog one time, and I said, y'all, I have so much joy today. I don't even know. I mean, it doesn't take a lot for me to get joy, like a really good mix of Diet Coke, you know, McDonald's, yeah. Or like the Downton Abbey movie, or the just cooler weather in Texas. So it doesn't take a lot to push me over to the joy category. But I said, y'all, I have so much joy today. I want to give you some joy. Like, I have extra. So I'm going to give you some.
Yeah.
So in the comments, I want you to tell me something that you do that you're incredible at. Like, are you the hula hoop champion? Like, you know, do you bake the best apple pie? Like, whatever it is, I want you to leave it in the comments. And I said, and then I'm going to tell you how amazing you are. And then that will give you joy. And so all these people were like, I can really, you know, play tic-tac-toe. Or like, I really, you know, I have amazing hands, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're the best. You have the best hands in North America. You're incredible, you know. And along the way, something amazing happened, because I figured something out. You cannot give joy away. Like, you can't. Because it comes back triple.
Oh, you're
like, wait, I'm trying to give this away. And then the people were like, no, you're amazing. I just think a thing to live with in life is that if you want joy, give joy away and it will come back to you double.
Oh, that's so good. Such a good approach, no matter what you're doing, whether it's your house or just living, for sure. But I love how that comes through in your books too, just your joyful approach. Like, I feel like a lot of information out there is telling people maybe that they have to have a clear style to create a house that works. I know that I talk to my followers and listeners all the time, and they're struggling and telling me, I just don't know what my aesthetic is. I love everything. I know that you're a proponent of not letting design styles really define you. So, and really just to let them inspire you instead of making you feel restricted. What's your advice for someone stressing about defining their style? I know you do have a whole book about it.
I do. I have an amazing book on how to find your style. But the secret, kind of the book spoiler, is that at the end of the day, your style is truly your own. And it's things that you love in your house. So, for example, I'm talking to you right now and I'm looking across my office, and there is a pumpkin that I made out of twigs from the backyard. Like, I went out outside, and there is actually, we could put this in the show notes. Yeah. There's a whole DIY on this on the blog, but it's a pumpkin. So I found this kind of random piece of wood. I think I got it out of the trash or from the side of the road or something. Mm-hmm. And I took some twigs and I drew an outline of a pumpkin, and then I glued the twigs into the shape of a pumpkin.
Uh-huh.
And I have pulled that thing out. I think I made it maybe 5 years ago. And every year I pull it out and I sort through my fall like, okay, I don't think this is cute anymore. I think you're going
yeah.
fall decor. But
yeah.
And the pumpkin makes the cut. Every year it makes the cut. And the reason why is because it's something that I created mm-hmm. and it's something that I love. And every time I pull it out, it makes me happy. And I think perhaps that's the best tip that we can give ourselves is permission to love our houses, because yeah. there's a whole world of people out there and they're all telling you like, well, you need to only have gray rugs, or like you should only make your walls like khaki
yes.
or, oh, no one has purple ceilings. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, oh, heaven forbid, that would be terrible, you know,
yeah.
but in reality, like own it. Like if you like it and it speaks to you, then you know what? If you create a home full of things that you love, something amazing happens along the way. You end up loving your home. And I think that's the best tip, is because don't listen to all the people telling you do this or do mm-hmm. this or making you feel inferior. Like you own it. If you want to go and make a pumpkin out of twigs from your backyard, like you go, girl, like you put it out every fall and let it make you so happy every year.
That is such an amazing perspective. And I think it's why like I'm so passionate about sharing DIY with people, because in a way DIY is kind of an escape from the rules, because even if two people are making the same project, like it's going to yes. come out totally different. So getting to create something you really love and do it exactly how you want it is like so
yes.
freeing and so fun.
Exactly. That's so true. Like if you want to make an acorn, like you go for it. You don't have to make a pumpkin. You can do whatever you want.
Yes. So I know something that was a focus in one of your more recent books is how perfection is overemphasized and underrated. And I think this comes along with like the Pinterest culture of like looking at perfection and being inspired and then never really getting started because we're afraid we won't be perfect or good enough. Can you talk a little about what this means when it comes to your home?
I think that is so true, because I call it I think I heard this term, it's not my term, but I heard it somewhere, the paralysis of perfection.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what happens so many times in our spaces. So you're looking at your living room and you go, I feel like I should change out the rug in this room.
Yeah.
And you look around and then you think, but if I change out the rug, I'm going to have to change out the paint color. And if I change out the paint color, then maybe I have to paint the trim. And then, oh gosh, I probably need new curtains. And like, if I need new curtains, like, what about the pillows? Like, they won't match anymore. And then you get so overwhelmed by all the decisions that you have to make mm-hmm. that you just say, oh, I'll do it later.
Yes.
I'll just do
yes.
it. And you're so focused on the room being perfect that you lose sight. It's like you lose sight of the forest for the trees. Like, in
yeah.
other words, your goal is to have a room that you love. So if you want a new rug, I say go out, find a rug. And rugs are an easy, like the rugs, I remember when I first started decorating, they were so expensive. Mm. And now they have amazing, inexpensive rugs, like 8x10 rug. You can get it for, you know, easily under $200. There's a lot of amazing options. There's actually this incredible blue and white rug that I found on Wayfair that is like, when I put on Instagram, everyone's like, I need that rug.
Yeah.
I'm like, me too. So, but yeah, I think that like you change out the rug in the room and then live with your room. Like you don't have to do it all today. And it doesn't all have to be perfect. Like change out the rug, live with it. Maybe the stuff that you have will already go with it,
uh-huh.
but make a decision. I think make a decision and take a baby step. Whatever that first baby step is, find something in the room that you want to change. Now, in addition to rugs, I think one of the easiest, most inexpensive things you can do is to paint a room. Like paint,
yeah.
I think, is your best friend. And I have some of my best friends are paint colors. Like
yeah.
I love a good Sherwin-Williams Mindful Gray. Like
uh-huh.
my life was complete when I found that color. Or a really good white is Sherwin-Williams Alabaster. Like that's another. A really good khaki is Sherwin-Williams Sandbar that I'm looking at right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of really fun paint colors, and you can change the room almost overnight by giving it a new look. Like, and we can put this in the show notes. I just took my dining room from like calm, relaxing. The walls were white. Everything was kind of neutral to like, I could have navy blue.
I love it.
I like changed up the entire space. I didn't have to change that many things in the room to make it
mm-hmm.
fit. I really just changed the paint color. You can see the before and after, and it's incredible the difference just a little bit of paint will make.
I love that so much because, first of all, it's an inexpensive way to feel like your house is always fresh, but also just the approach of design that you were talking about, where it's like one thing at a time and, you know, having like a almost collected look where over time your style's growing and becoming more clear and more defined and you can change it at any time versus like traditional interior design that's like, let's redo the entire room, make it all look cohesive at once, and then do a reveal.
I think that's too it's too stressful for me. So I can't imagine somebody that doesn't write a decorating blog and decorate all the time. Like, I get stressed out when I think of, you know, redoing an entire room top to bottom.
Yes.
I mean, that sounds like super overwhelming.
It totally does. Oh my goodness.
And I write books about it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Too funny. So the other weird, funny thing about pursuing perfectionism is I feel like it's also expensive because there's always something new to buy or something you have to replace to make it look perfect. Can you talk about like the value of designing your home on a budget and why, you know, it doesn't have to be super expensive to be amazing?
You know, I started when I very first got my first house, I started designing it on a budget because that's what I had. I had like, well, I had no money actually. So I, you know, I could take $20 and make it last for like years, you know, and I shopped yard sales and thrift stores and I figured out all these creative, amazing ways. I actually have a series on my blog of 30 ways to decorate your house for free, completely free, like that's awesome. Changing things out for free. And I did that out of necessity. Well, now, you know, I've grown up a little bit and now I have a little bit more income and I can maybe afford to splurge a little bit, but I still don't.
Yeah.
Because I think the joy is in the hunt at a yard sale. Oh my gosh. When you see that sign and it says multi-family.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So exciting.
It's like, you're like, well, if one family's junk is amazing, then multi-family is going to be way better, you know? And so that there is just no thrill like that. I mean, to go and find something that somebody else paid maybe, I don't know, $500 for, and they're selling it at yard sale for like $10. Mm-hmm. And to take that to your home and transform it to match your decor is an amazing thing. So I'm a big believer in decorating on a budget. I think shopping thrift stores and yard sales, and where I live, people just put stuff out by the side of the road and you're like, hey, way to go. I just think that's probably one of the best, and the best tips I think for transforming things are, number one, paint is a good friend, which we've already discussed. Number two, I think sometimes taking something and looking at it in an unusual way, like taking drawers and putting them on the wall and, you know, creating shadow boxes out of them, or taking an old window and just hanging it on the wall and putting a wreath on it, or something that lived another life doing something else. And now you're like, hello, friend. You know, it's time to live another chapter in a new way.
That is so good. And I feel like kind of what's emerging for me as I think about this is like, the fact that when people say like, oh, I don't have enough money to have a beautiful house, it's not really like your focus is just kind of in the wrong place. You need to focus more on the creativity and being imaginative versus like what you can go buy, you know, from the store kind of deal.
I do agree. And I think the world right now tells us sometimes like, hey, you know, buy this latest and greatest thing or buy this or, and I mean, I get that. I like to shop as much as the next person, but I also think sometimes anybody can just go to the store and buy stuff. It's the extraordinary home that finds something, a treasure, and makes it into something that's uniquely their own.
That's so, so beautiful. Such a good nugget there.
Words of design wisdom.
Yes, it really, really is. Especially for someone that's been at it a while and feeling stuck, or someone that's just starting and doesn't really know, you know, where to go.
Well, and I think sometimes, you know what, I really did this, Kara, I did it out of almost necessity because I have four children and people come to my house and I want them to feel comfortable. I want to feel like if they bump into something and it breaks, like who cares? It came from a yard sale. Like I don't want them to feel like you can't put your feet up, or you can't put a cup on a coffee table, or I just create things that I feel super comfortable because I want people that come to the home to feel comfortable. And if something were, I don't know, if they knock over a table and it breaks, I mean, there's always another, you know, $20 table right down the road at a multifamily yard sale. So I don't want, even though my house looks fancy, literally everything in here, either somebody gave me, or I found it by the side of the road, or I found it, or my mom gave it to me when she gets tired of stuff, you know, yeah. I mean, so I don't ever want people to feel where you just couldn't come in my home, kick your shoes off and just, you know, pull up a chair with a glass of sweet tea. I want them to feel super cozy.
Yeah. And that's the best, really the best thing. Cause I think when we look at inspiration photos or kind of styled photos, we forget that like the house is made to be lived in and it only looked like that for a second when they took the picture. But you gotta listen to it. You gotta get cozy.
Yes, exactly.
So I think we have to dive into all your books because I've kind of mentioned a couple of them, but seriously, so amazing. I think I own like 3 out of, is it 5?
Are you like, calm down, Carianne? Is that what you... calm down with your books. Like, all right.
No, I love it so much. Because you can just tell that like writing and kind of teaching through writing is your passion and you are so good at it. Because, you know, some people like write a book, write a memoir and they're kind of done, but...
Oh no, I have way too much to say. That's my problem. Like, I have way too much to say. I'm actually trying to get better at listening. See, on this podcast, I'm listening attentively instead of like, all these thoughts are going through my head when you say something. I'm like, Carianne, be a good listener. Be a good listener.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. So let's start. We'll get to your most recent book, but let's start with your favorite one. Do you have a favorite one?
Oh gosh, don't ask me that question.
I love them all.
It's like children. Like I love them all for different reasons because I wrote them kind of at different stages of my life. And so my very first book, which is called So Close to Amazing, which is actually a memoir, and it's got a lot of faith in it. And it's got a lot of, you know, jumping and why we jumped and how we really followed our heart and some of the struggles. Like I'm straight up share my struggles. I struggle with weight. I struggle with chocolate chip cookies. I actually put in my Instagram stories last night a picture of this plate of cupcakes. And I said, y'all, it's 10:17 at night. Should I eat this cupcake?
I wouldn't even have asked anyone. I would have taken two.
And people were voting. And just for the record, it was like 97% said, yes, please.
Yeah, that's the kind of friends you need in life, I think.
Yes, I've got really good readers on Instagram.
Yes.
So that book is amazing. And it just chronicles really my journey and my heart. And I got to tell so many of my stories because at my heart, at the end of the day, when you peel everything else away from me, I am a storyteller. I love to tell stories and I just love teaching through stories. And so the second book is The DIY Planner, and it is all about, it's meant to be given to someone who, you know, it makes a great gift for a brand new bride and groom. It makes a beautiful gift for a new homeowner. It's someone who, if you want to take your house from 0 to like 60, it gives you all of the details, like how high to hang your chandelier and how high to like, you know, or what a rug should look like in a room, all of the decorating rules. And then I say, let's just break these rules. And do what we want to do. But that book is amazing. And then the third book is actually devotional. And it's called You've Got This Because God's Got You. And it's all about, it's actual stories. It's stories of, oh gosh, times I've stepped in dog poop or, you know, and the life lesson in that. And just so many of kind of things where I've made a wrong step in life and just what I've learned from them. And it's meant to encourage. So it's an amazing book for anybody who really just needs to be lifted up.
Yeah.
And it's the cutest little book. It fits perfectly in your purse. Mm-hmm. And Sometimes I kind of think that's my favorite, but don't tell the others. And then the fourth book is the DIY Style Finder. It's the one we referenced earlier, and it's all about how to find your style. And then the most recent book, which is actually my current favorite. Okay, so other books, this one actually is my favorite right now because it's the newest one. And it's called But Where Do I Put the Couch? And it's 101 questions from readers. So another blogger, Melissa from the Inspired Room, and I ask all of our readers, like, send us your questions. Like, what questions do you have? And oh my gosh, the questions that we got, like, you would not even believe. I had no idea there were so many decorating questions in this, on this earth. Mm-hmm. And we picked the 100 best ones, but then one of the most popular questions is, where do I put my couch? Like, yeah. Where in the room do I put my couch? So that's where the title of the book came from. But it's such a fun read. I'm getting all kinds of messages and DMs of people saying, oh, I'm on page like 142. And mm-hmm. I love how you reference this project. And, you know, and you're so inspiring on this. And I want to, like, learn how to paint this way. And, you know, it's just an amazing, amazing thing to have your words reach out and really inspire people.
Yes. Oh my goodness. That's totally my favorite book too. And it was hilarious because when I met you at Haven, you had a different book that you were doing signings for. And I thought that was your most recent. And then I go to Home Goods and I saw the book that, and the title caught my eye. And I was like, Carrie Ann, I literally met her. But no, it's
like, why did I know that girl? That's actually one of my proudest moments is when the book was in Home Goods because, I mean, come on, girl, like, Home Goods, that's the place where it's at. I mean, that's where you can find some amazing home decor. And so when it showed up there, I was so proud.
Yeah.
Like, see my book in Home Goods. So yeah.
Oh my gosh, you so should be. But what I really love about it is it feels so attainable. Like, it doesn't feel like some, like, very serious designer is just here to give you the rules. It's just very, like, I don't know. It just makes it feel like I could totally design my own house and do it beautifully. And, you know, it's not that hard. Like, it's very, very encouraging in that way. So
I think you've surmised the book exactly right. Like, I think it's all about baby steps, like taking small steps that eventually add up to a big difference.
Yes. Yeah. And that's something when, you know, when followers or listeners are always like, how did you make that? Like, I could never do that, which is a phrase I hate, but it's just like my journey started longer ago than yours. Like, you can totally get here, but there was a point where I was afraid to use a saw and I'd go to Home Depot and, like, beg the guy to break the rules and cut it smaller than 12 inches. I just needed an 8-inch piece. Like, so, you know, I think sharing that, the fact that it's a journey, and that's what that book really kind of showcased really, really well, was just like, let's ask one question at a time. And that's how you learn, like, one at a time.
I love that. And I love you. I love your story too. I think that's so inspiring. I think you're such an inspiration to women everywhere because here you are with a podcast now. I mean, that's something I'm like, anybody that has a podcast, I'm super impressed and think they're a giant big deal because I couldn't figure that all out. I'm not that smart.
I see, my flaw is that I need to go talk to people more. I'd be more than happy to, like, sit in the closet and, like, work on stuff behind the computer all day. So, you know, different strengths. But yeah, the podcast is really here to help everyday women feel empowered to tackle those big projects and not be intimidated. So is there any advice you'd give her in terms of how to feel confident about her style and kind of curate the space that she really loves?
I think that, I mean, we've discussed so many things. We've discussed the paralysis of perfection today. We've discussed just embracing the home that you love. But I think if I could just sum all of that up into one phrase,
yeah,
and it's almost like if I was sitting at my house right now, and hopefully I'd have a really good cup of coffee or a Diet Coke or something, or maybe a cupcake. And I could encourage that woman or man that's listening to this, I would say, you can do it. I know that's so oversimplifying it, but sometimes it's just someone giving you permission to make those changes because you got this, friend. Like, you truly have this. I know you're probably thinking, I can't pick out a paint color. Mm-hmm. You know what? you can. I know you're thinking like, I probably can't go find something cute at a yard sale. Oh, wait. Oh, you can. You can. Yeah. And you're probably thinking, I can never figure out where to put my couch. Like, yes, you can. Like, you can do it. And don't let anyone take that away from you that you can't. Like, don't let anyone tell you that or make you feel small or make you feel less than, because truly you can do this.
I love that. And don't let yourself tell you that either. Like,
exactly. Like, get out of the way. Like, get out of the way of yourself.
Yeah. So something that is kind of more new to me, because when I first started out, I was actually in fashion and a fashion blogger of all things, which is very,
wow,
very
that's now
totally a wrong fit. And coming over to the DIY and home space, like, the sense of community is next level. It's just like so many like-minded people that are very creative and just like, whatever you do is going to be totally different than what I'm going to do. So, like, we're not competing. We're like best friends. Can you talk about like the role of community in your journey, like as a blogger, but also just for the everyday woman who is decorating her home and trying to do it alone?
Okay. I think I'm going to tell a story to illustrate this point.
Yeah.
Act shocked that I'm telling you a story. But when I started my blog, I was going to write a fancy blog, like super decoratory, you know, like with all kinds of rules and things like why you should only have neutrals in your Christmas decor, and like why you should never have painted paneling in your house. You know, all kinds of like these amazing words of wisdom from like Mount Zion looking down on people below, you know, and I could not take pictures at all. I had like a camera, those yellow cameras that used to like throw away after you took them to Walgreens.
Uh-huh.
And so I hire a photographer to come out to my house. And he came out to the house and he took all of these, it was right around Christmas time, he took these amazing, incredible, awesome pictures of the house. And he sent me the files on the computer. And I remember pulling them up going, shut up. Like, wait until the world sees this. Like, are you kidding me? This is my gift to the universe, these pictures. And so I go to write my very first blog post and I upload the photographs and I put them in, and it was going to be of my front room at the farmhouse, which was kind of like, I guess at one time it was probably used as a library. Mm-hmm. And it had, and the title of the post was going to be how to use neutrals in your Christmas decor.
Yeah.
And so I pull out the pictures and I start typing and I'm like, and anyway, and you should always do this and you should do this and you should do this. And then I looked at the photograph. I, in my brilliant decorating wisdom, had totally forgot to put like a tree skirt under the Walmart tree.
Oh,
and
no.
So we had these plastic feet, and the feet like with a wide angle were like, yeah, into the, it looked like they were like taking over the living room. And I look, I'm like, how did I miss that? I'm like, oh, how embarrassing. This is so embarrassing. And so I thought, I can't write a fancy blog. I can't even put my tree skirt on, for heaven's sakes. And so I literally, my first blog post, you can go back and look at it, and it's like, hi guys, my name is Carianne, and I do not put my tree skirt on sometimes. Like, I forget. And it turns out that there's a whole giant community out there of people that forget their tree skirt too.
Yeah.
And, or like the other thing I had done is I had left my white pumpkins in the hutch next to, like, you know, the nativity set.
Yeah.
And because they were white, they were stuck in amongst some like other decor. And I didn't really see them until the picture showed up. And I was like, ooh, fall and Christmas all in one hutch. Like, this is amazing. Oh, and, but I learned something amazing that day, because it was almost like people were so happy that somebody else went first. Somebody mm-hmm. else said, hey guys, I'm going to be authentic. I'm going to be real because I want to be part of this community and I want to encourage you. And I am so far from being perfect. Your head would spin. I forget my tree skirts. I put pumpkins next to nativities, and the community that came out and surrounded me because of that was so incredible. And they lifted me up and they were all trying to make me feel better. Like, it's okay. Like, it's fine if you forget that tree skirt. Like, no worries. Just put a quilt under there, you know, like, it's close enough. And I think that that community still exists today. It's like been with me through my whole blogging journey. And I feel like when I meet someone who reads my blog, it's like we're literally BFFs because we all like the same stuff and none of us are perfect or trying to pretend to be perfect.
Yes. Oh my goodness. The trying to pretend to be perfect thing is just another level of exhausting. And I just want to save everyone I can from that trap because that's a whole different.
Terrible thing. That's a whole other podcast.
Yes, it is. It really
is. I'll be back. Now I'll be another guest and we'll talk on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. This was so good. I feel like I feel personally very encouraged, but I know the listeners are also going to take a lot from this in terms of, like, you know, it not being that intimidating and not seeming so challenging to just dive in and get started and be unafraid to make mistakes, because that's how you get the space you really like, is like trial and error and getting started, really.
Yeah, it's just do it. Like, just take that first step. Like, if you're listening to this podcast today and you're like, and you're sitting in your living room listening to it and you're looking around like, I think I really need to fill in the blank. I really need to get new curtains. I really need to paint that table. I really need to change out the pillows on my couch. Like, you got this. Like, you can do it, but you have to take that first step. And I think the first step is where it all begins. And it's like, if you take the first step and you realize, wait, that wasn't too bad. I did that. Like, I'm good. And then you need to get some peeps and like show them all your pillows or whatever you've done.
Like, yeah.
You just shout it out to the world. Like, I tell random people in Walmart all the time, like, by the way, I just painted my dining room and it is like incredible. Like, it's so fun. And they're like, okay, thank you. Please pass the sweet potatoes over there.
Oh, that's hilarious. But that's the thing, when you're passionate about it, it just spills over like wherever you are. And you totally have that going on.
I got something going on.
So just to wrap up, because everyone really needs to get on board with what you have going on, where can everyone find you online?
Okay, they can find me at thistlewoodfarms.com. Mm-hmm. And they can find me on Instagram at thistlewood. They can also find me on Facebook under Thistlewood Farms. And I have a really fun email that goes out that they can sign up for on the blog. The books are all over, anywhere books are sold. In addition, they're on Amazon. Yeah. And you can also, there's links to them on my blog under my book page.
Yeah. And I'll for sure link all those in the show notes just to make it easy. And then besides your most recent book, is there anything else cool or special we need to know about?
No, except I'm getting ready to decorate for Christmas. Oh, and I'm going to remember my tree skirt. I've got an amazing tree skirt.
Can't wait to see it. So everyone hop over to Instagram, give her a follow, because your account is literally gorgeous and inspirational and attainable. That's the best part, is it's not.
Well, and the stories, like, I got to keep it real in the stories. Like, today I was at Trader Joe's buying flowers and like, I don't think you've ever seen someone get so excited about, they had kind of like straw grasses there today. And I literally, if you need some joy, go listen to me talk about those straw grasses.
Oh, but that's, I feel like every day there's something different that you're like so excited about. And it makes me smile. Like, I love watching your stories.
There, it's always something going on for sure. A lot of fun.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you so much for your time and for sharing all your insight and all your amazing advice.
Thank you. And have a day as amazing as y'all are. Okay.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Hashtag obsessed. So what I am obsessed with this week, surprise, is Karian's book, But Where Do I Put the Couch? This is the one we talked about in the episode that has answers to 101 real world decorating questions. She's really an amazing author, so all of her books are excellent, but this one really stands out as the first one I would recommend, especially if you are an everyday girl who wants to decorate your house. You want it to look gorgeous and opulent, but you don't really know like the rules of design and all the official nitty-gritty kind of stuff. So Because, like, the regular process of an interior designer is, like, you learn all the rules, you learn how to style an entire room for a client, and that kind of knowledge just doesn't work as much in your own house when it's, like, you want to build it over time, and you don't necessarily have to follow all the rules because you don't care to stay true to, like, traditional design, if that makes sense. So the reason I like this book is because you can either read it straight through and just learn a ton about design by hearing their answers to all these different questions that, like, real people have asked, or you can use it like a resource. So when you have a question, you can, like, look it up and see and get kind of like tips and advice for exactly what you need to know versus like endless Google searching and potentially being bombarded with rules of design when you're like Googling home decor things. There's a lot of people telling you what you should do. And this is really approachable. It's really usable as a resource. And so that's why I'm really, really loving it. Plus, I just love Carianne's writing style. I love how genuine it is and how much she truly does want to teach and help. And that's not something you can just find anywhere. So that is what I'm loving this week. It is amazing. Go snag a copy off Amazon. I think it's like $28, maybe even on sale right now. So yeah, I will link it in the show notes, but you definitely need to go grab a copy. Wait, what? So my wait what for this week is actually a fun tree skirt fact. I love Carianne's tree skirt fail story. So such a good opportunity to talk about Christmas way before we need to. Not even close yet, but who cares? So tree skirts actually originated as a functional situation. Trees used to be decorated with actual candles. So a tree skirt was invented to go around the base of the tree to collect the wax from the candles and then also the fallen needles. So they weren't really decorative at all. They were basically there to keep things from catching on fire, which is like a great purpose. So then basically, as we moved to having a tree stand with both real trees and then like the legs for faux trees, people didn't like the way they looked, so they kind of gave tree skirts a makeover, and they became like a piece of fabric that was more decorative, would cover up the stand, and also collect wax. And then now we just use them solely as a decoration to cover up the stand. So, fun fact about tree skirts, if you didn't know, which I did not, I thought they were always just decorative. But yeah, at one point they were to prevent fire, so you can totally skip the tree skirt unless you're going to use real candles like a crazy person, and then you need one for the wax. I will see you guys next week. I have another super, super amazing guest coming up and an upcoming interview with a star who has her own HGTV show. She's one of my very favorite designers, and I'm very giddy about the fact that she gets to come on the podcast. So if you are not a subscriber, hit subscribe, because in about 2 weeks, you're going to find out who it is, and the interview is going to be amazing. See you soon.
Home, home, I'm on my way back home.
Love this episode? Leave a comment on the blog post or use Make Space Podcast to share your thoughts. If this is your first time listening in, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you can stay updated with the newest episodes. If you're a subscriber and you love the show, be sure to rate, review, or screenshot and share your favorite episode on social.